You're listening to County Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the New York State Association of Counties. This episode features a conversation on rural cellular coverage and service. NYSAC's Executive Director Steve Naquerio is joined by Congressman Anthony Brindisi of New York's 22nd Congressional District and Chairman William Farber of the Hamilton County Board of Supervisors. They will discuss the lack of cellular coverage in rural areas of the state, the need for federal infrastructure stimulus funding, and next steps to move forward with the industry to help communities in need of coverage.
I'm the executive director of the New York State Association of Counties, NYSAC, as it's known. NYSAC represents the 57 counties of the state of New York, as well as the five boroughs comprising the city of New York. We're very fortunate today to be joined by Congressman Anthony Brindisi from New York's 22nd Congressional District, which covers portions of Oswego, Oneida, Herkimer, Madison, Shenango, Cortland, Broome, and Tioga counties. Welcome to the podcast, Congressman.
Thank you, Stephen. It's great to be with you.
Congressman Brindisi has been a staunch advocate for counties, partnering with NYSAC and county governments on advocating for federal funds to improve rural cellular services across the underserved and unserved areas of New York State. We're also delighted to have the Hamilton County Board of Supervisors Chairman William Farber. Bill is the chair of NYSAC's Economic Development, Energy, and Environmental Policy Standing Committee and has been a tireless advocate in Washington, D.C. and in Albany at the State House on rural cellular. Chairman Farber also serves on Governor Cuomo's Upstate Cellular Coverage Task Force. Bill Farber, thank you for joining us.
Happy to join you, Steve.
Okay, so let's get right at it. Congressman, as you get ready to ramp up a lot of work for a COVID stimulus package, hopefully going to be able to address the local government impact that's been missing with these COVID relief packages, the state relief, a revenue loss package. Hopefully this can be part of the next round of negotiations. But let's provide our listeners with a brief summary of our joint advocacy efforts. In late 2019, NYSAC wrote a letter to the governor to propose the creation of a cellular coverage task force, which the governor announced as part of his 2019 State of the State address. This announcement really kicked off a very concerted effort across the state to bring full advocacy to the state and to the federal government, and really to bring some awareness to the issue of rural cellular. Once this happened, you, Congressman Brindisi, Robert, and John, in your office in Washington, D.C., you really jumped at this. You really got out front. You've been a strong advocate, writing to the chairman of the SAC, speaking with congressional leadership on the need for rural cellular infrastructure funding. I have to say, I remember when you were on the radio in the Southern Tier talking about this issue, and you were explaining to the listeners, to your constituents really, how you have to time your phone calls based on where you are in the district because you might not have cell service. And I'm sure Bill Farber from Hamilton County and the Adirondacks can share that concern. Congressman, can you talk about your experience and your advocacy efforts in Washington, D.C. on this issue?
Absolutely, Stephen. And thank you and NYSAC for being such a leader on this issue, and to Chairman Farber as well, who's been such a great advocate for our state and for rural areas across the country, really, when it comes to cellular service in rural areas. And I always say, you know, a lot of attention in Washington gets paid to broadband, which is absolutely necessary and critical. But we have to keep in that conversation. In addition to broadband, we have to have adequate cell service as well, because the lack of cell service in rural areas across New York State and across the country is a major problem. We need to have universal cell coverage in our rural areas so that everyone can be connected and participate in our digital society. And it's a public safety issue, too. You know, when you think about many of the popular outdoor destinations here in New York State, such as the Adirondacks or areas around my district north of Oneida Lake, they have no easy way for campers or hikers or hunters or fishermen in distress to call for emergency services. The way I see it at the federal level, there's two problems. One is funding, and two is accurate maps by the FCC. So that's why I joined with Congresswoman Stefanik last year in pushing the FCC to expand funding for rural cellular development. Now, the commissioners at FCC and the telecom companies love to talk about 5G, but we all know that in rural areas here in New York, we're struggling to get 4G, we're struggling to get 3G and LTE. So it's great that they're focused on 5G, but let's focus on bringing everybody up to speed here. We did have some success this past year. We got the Broadband Data Act signed into law earlier this year to force the FCC and cellular service providers to come up with better maps. There's been leadership in the Senate. Senator Manchin down in West Virginia pushed very hard to have an investigation done by FCC of their current mapping system, and they found that cell service maps, 60% of them are out of date and inaccurate. And as we move forward here and we talk about infrastructure in Washington, we have to look at, one, how we invest in better mapping the cellular service right now, and two, how we provide funding to make sure that it's going to the places that need it the most.
Congressman, the state of New York is relatively advanced in this discussion, in this topic. The governor convening that important cellular coverage task force. We really have a very unique situation here in that we have mapped all areas, every area of New York State. We know where the gap coverages are. We know where there's coverage. We know where there's not coverage. Do you think having this information will help position the state to secure additional funding? And how do you, where do you think we're heading next? Will Congress advance a comprehensive infrastructure bill this session that would or could include rural cellular funding? Do you think that's a possibility? Will it be tied to a COVID economic stimulus bill? Or do you think it's a separate freestanding infrastructure bill, what is taking place here during a federal presidential election year? Is that something likely to be seen?
Absolutely. On the first point, yes, I think that the fact that New York State and leaders here in New York have really taken the bull by the horns and come up with our own mapping system will help attract more federal investment. And that's something that we've done too in our congressional office. We've had some almost like a crowdsourcing type of initiative with constituents here, because we all know where the gaps in coverage are. We know where they are in terms of broadband. Many of us can pinpoint to an exact location where we're going to lose cell phone coverage. I mean, you had mentioned earlier, Steve, my experience is driving around the district, and I can tell you, I can point out areas where I know I'm just not going to get cell phone service, and I make a point to either stop my car if I'm on a call before I go into those areas, or just make sure I'm not scheduling calls around when I'm going to be in certain more rural parts of the counties that I represent. So we know where the gaps in coverage are, and I think by going about it ourselves and providing the maps to FCC, that will help them make better decisions in terms of funding and help get better coverage for people here in New York State. On the second point, the elusive infrastructure bill. Now, this is something that enjoys a lot of bipartisan support in Washington. The issue always comes down to funding. How are we going to fund infrastructure investments? I think, what I would be focused on right now, and what I hope we can come to some agreement for in absence of a larger infrastructure bill, is let's look at the areas that we seem to get the most support. The most support is around things like rural broadband coverage and cell phone coverage, water quality projects, updating water systems, even updating the energy grid. Let's focus on those areas. Let's reauthorize the Surface Highway Transportation Bill, which is something that expires in September. And then let's talk about moving forward a larger infrastructure package. we have to make sure that we're balancing this the right way. As a representative who does represent a more rural area of the state, I don't want the expense and the way we pay for this to be solely on raising taxes for gasoline, because people rely on their cars more in rural areas, and it's not fair to penalize them to fund larger mass transit projects. We have to find some kind of a balance here where everybody enjoys in the fruits of an infrastructure bill going forward.
Congressman, let's talk a little bit more about allies in the Congress that are invested in this issue. Is there a task force or a group of members of the House dealing with this issue?
There is. There's a rural broadband task force, which is also looking at cellular coverage. And there are going to be some proposals that come out in the coming weeks to make stronger investments, both in updating the mapping system, but also investments in broadband and cell phone coverage. It's an issue that enjoys bipartisan support, as I said. I've been working pretty closely with Congresswoman Stefanik, who represents the North Country, on these issues and really trying to push FCC to update their maps, but also look at how we can invest in funding to make sure that we have adequate coverage across the state. There's been some good legislation proposed. We did pass H.R. 2 recently in the House, which included funding about $24 million to implement what's known as the Broadband Data Act. This would allow for the creation of more accurate wireless maps so that FCC's wireless deployment funds can be targeted at the areas of the country that actually need better coverage. There's funding that we're pushing for in the Mobility Fund project. So there are a lot of allies in this, and this is an area where I think we really have to work together to try and get something done, because you know, in the 21st century, it's almost impossible to go about your daily activities if you don't have access to broadband, if you don't have adequate cell phone coverage, especially in the age of coronavirus. I mean, we've seen what has happened over the last few months. It's really laid bare what we all have known here in upstate New York for a long time, is that if you don't have adequate broadband, if you don't have cell phone coverage, it's impossible to conduct distance learning. It's impossible to conduct teleworking. It's impossible almost to conduct telehealth, which is something that we're relying more and more upon here in upstate New York.
Well, we really appreciate your advocacy here on this particular issue, because the word broadband obviously is the big king word here of this discussion of technology, of information technology. Broadband, we need to connect broadband to our rural school districts, to our urban school districts. We need to have broadband made available to all of the people of the United States. And the governor of the state of New York putting a concerted effort over the past 5, 6, 8 years into providing broadband coverage, doing a remarkable job of connecting and bringing that last mile coverage. But cellular has struggled to get the attention that it deserves. And certainly in rural New York, in rural America, it does struggle to get that attention. And when I talk to the cellular companies, when I talk to the representatives of those companies, they tell me they don't want to be mandated to provide coverage because it's expensive to bring that technology to a rural part of the country, to a rural area of New York State. I think there's a way that we could bridge this divide, trying to bring that last mile. Technology continues to evolve, where we could use different forms of technology to provide a wireless cell. Any thoughts on the companies and how they react to rural cellular coverage? Are they interested in working with the federal government? Are they interested in working with the communities, the state government? Your thoughts on the industry side of providing greater access to cellular?
Well, it hasn't been great. I can tell you that on the industry side, that there hasn't been, from my perspective, a whole lot of willingness to expand into the more rural areas, precisely for the reason that you had stated, because they're looking at profit and they may not see profit when you expand into more rural areas. I also would say that there has to be greater oversight. I'm not someone who's advocating for a whole onslaught of new regulation. However, I'd mentioned the investigation that was done that was really led by congressional pressure by Senator Manchin, which pushed the FCC to really launch an investigation, and they discovered that many of their maps were not accurate. But they also looked at, in that report, what the coverage was for some of the major providers. And in their report, the FCC said through their investigation, their staff had discovered that many of the coverage maps that were submitted by companies like Verizon or U.S. Cellular or T-Mobile likely overstated each provider's actual coverage and did not reflect on-the-ground performance in many instances. So when you see these commercials and they're talking about all these areas that they cover, what the reality is they're not really covering those areas as they're advertising. I think there has to be some truth in advertising, and if you're going to state you're covering in certain areas, then you actually should spend the money to do that. We have to get creative here, and that's where we need to hear from local leaders, groups like NYSAC, others, as to what we can look at to bring cellular coverage into some of these underserved areas where the larger companies may not go. I think there has to be more competition, certainly in the telecommunication industry, because at least what we've seen in broadband, that there is some willingness on the smaller providers to go into some of these rural areas in the absence of a lot of the larger companies doing so. So I think we have to look at how we can spur more competition among some of these providers, and really that's how we can bring some more coverage into other areas, and then also work with counties. Many counties or municipalities may be interested in going into this field, certainly in terms of emergency management. Is there ways that we can incentivize counties or other local governments to help build the necessary infrastructure needed to get adequate coverage throughout rural communities?
I'm not one in the position and where I sit, Congressman, to be mandating anything on anybody.
No unfunded mandates.
We have advocated against mandating the local governments. The state has been notorious over its, quote, existence on requiring the counties to carry out the functions of the state. And while we're willing partners to do that, we really appreciate the reimbursement that's so necessary to provide that. Otherwise, the local taxpayer is footing the bill of the state without any say in those programs. So I'm not one for mandates. So let's talk about the issue of the private sector and the federal government. It seems to me that we ought to be looking at incentives, that if there's a way to incentivize the industry to provide that last mile coverage, to provide an enhanced access to cellular, to the rural parts, to the gap areas of the country, to the gap areas of the state of New York, that's sort of how we ought to approach this. We shouldn't be mandating anything on anybody, but we should be explaining the problem. I take the calls from the sheriff. I take the calls from the supervisors. I take the calls from the county executives and the county legislators across the state about rural cellular coverage. People expect when they get to that phone, cell phone in Warren County, which is, just into the Adirondack Park in certain areas, when they hit a 911, my gosh, they expect help to come. They don't expect to get one bar and no coverage and no call and no service. So it seems to me that we have to try to work with industry here to figure out a way to incentivize them to further invest into rural cellular, into increasing cellular coverage, the technology changing. There's got to be ways that we could do this. And it seems it's not just important to New York and rural New York, but it's important to rural America. And rural America, quite frankly, is rural red. It's represented by Republicans. So the fact that you're a Democrat and the Republicans representing much of the country, which is rural, hopefully there's an effort, a bipartisan effort, where you can convince your colleagues on the other side of the aisle and your colleagues on your side of the aisle, both in those urban pockets of America, but also the rural areas, of why this matter. So I do appreciate your effort, your intense effort to bring highlight this issue, to bring about the importance of why this matters. How can counties and NYSAC continue to support your great efforts in Washington, D.C.? Should we be working with our congressional delegation? Should we be working with our governor? How can we bring about more support to the great work that you're doing?
I think it's all of the above. I think the congressional delegation here in upstate New York is pretty united when it comes to things like expanding cellular service and broadband across the upstate New York. And I think by partnering with organizations like NYSAC to help bring us all together, whether it's letters to leadership, whether it's sponsorship of bills, whether it's advocacy around certain pots of funding to help incentivize companies to provide that last mile, if it's new ideas on how we can partner with local governments to help provide better cell coverage, then we should be doing that. And you guys do a great job at that already. But you're right, it's a safety issue. I represent Oswego County. The Salmon River is world famous for fishing and fly fishing. And I've talked to the county of Oswego, and I've talked to their emergency services department. And one of their big concerns is that once you get into some parts of the Salmon River, there's just no cell phone coverage, and it's almost impossible to find to get help if you're out there and stranded. So that's something we got to work on with industry as they're looking to expand 5G coverage into cities. We need advocates, both Democrats and Republicans, to remind these big companies that there are many rural areas where 5G may just not work, and we have to look at other ways that we can help bring cellular coverage into those areas, and that's something I'm committed to doing.
I want to thank Congressman Anthony Brindisi of New York's 22nd Congressional District, a terrific advocate for the people, a friend of local government, and a staunch advocate in D.C. for counties, partnering with NYSAC and counties, representing the counties of Oswego, Oneida, Herkimer, Madison, Chenango, Cortland, Broome, and Tioga counties. I know you have a lot of work to do, Congressman, and we're so thankful that you could carve out a few minutes. Thank you very, very much.
No, thank you, guys. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for your advocacy on this issue.
Next, we'll hear from Chairman Farber right after this brief message. NYSAC provides training and education to county leaders on issues vital to public policy and county services. Over the past few months, NYSAC has hosted webinars that address the challenges being faced at the county level amid the COVID-19 pandemic. All upcoming and previous webinars in this series can be found at nysac.org/webinars.
Bill Farber, let's switch gear to you, the chairman of the Hamilton County Board of Supervisors. You've been a passionate advocate at the local level on this issue. What's your reaction to what you heard from Congressman Anthony Brindisi on this issue of rural cellular?
Well, Steve, certainly I want to start by thanking him. I've had the honor and privilege of meeting with the congressman on multiple occasions about this issue, and I think what he said on this cast today is really reflective of his actions and what I've seen him work on and what I've seen him do. I've been particularly struck on this issue and other issues at the contrast, if you will, between what we sometimes see as the rhetorical debate that goes on in the press and the action we see around issues like this, because the congressman really has been working hand in hand with Congresswoman Stefanik and people on both sides of the aisle to move this forward. rural broadband, rural cellular, these two issues are inextricably linked together because of the technologies. And you were right in your earlier comments, Steve, that sometimes broadband seems to suck all the air out of the room. There was an order that we needed to build out the technology in because you need the fiber in place that provides the broadband in order to evolve into the provision of cellular service. But certainly you need only think about your own use of bandwidth, the use of your kids of bandwidth, the use of your parents and grandparents of bandwidth. Whatever the example is, people are shifting to the use of their handheld wireless device. That is for health and safety. It's for learning. It's for making that 911 call, but it's for educating your child, or it may be for monitoring the health of your mother or grandmother. So these are important issues. I am always struck by how passionate the congressman is on this, and I certainly appreciated his comments today.
Chairman Farber, tell the listeners a little bit about the town of Morehouse, the county of Hamilton, where you live, where you represent the people of the town of Morehouse and the Hamilton County Board of Supervisors. What's the population of Hamilton County, and why is this issue so important to those people and the people that come to visit your beautiful town and your beautiful county?
So there in your wrap-up, you just struck on the preeminent issue here, and you and the congressman talked a little bit about it in some of the areas he represents in terms of tourism and the infusion of people. So, you know, Hamilton County is the smallest county in the state by population, with a year-round population hovering right around 5,000 people. So that's a very small population. Geographically, we are the third largest county in area in New York State. We are the only federally designated frontier county west of the Mississippi because of that dynamic of just how rural we are in terms of population density. But there's a couple of factors that doesn't take into consideration, which makes our life very challenging around a number of programs. But for the moment, we're talking about broadband and cellular. So keep in mind one thing. Of the housing stock in Hamilton County, 13% of the housing stock is occupied by year-round population. So that means that set aside the pure tourists that are staying in hotels and motels and campgrounds, that means that 87% of that housing stock is second homeowners. That's a profound stat in and of itself. Those second homeowners many times could spend more time here, more hours here, more days here if they had that access to broadband, that access to cellular. And then you layer in on top of that the number of tourists that we have in Speculator, so, or Lake Pleasant or Indian Lake or Long Lake. We are one of the Adirondack's premier tourist destinations, particularly for outdoor recreation. We have expanses of forest preserve that represent nearly 70% of the county. Again, it is an amazing resource that provides operational challenges when we think about both cellular and broadband. But that's sort of the backdrop of what has made me passionate about it. I've been involved in the conversations going back now over a decade when we actually saw the loss of life on the Northway because somebody was able to make a 911 call. But more recently, when you think about and talk about the kinds of tragedies or the hardship that occurs around the lack of cellular, the lack of broadband, we need really only look at what happened to our school kids that were at home and the way some of our school systems in the county struggled with trying to find ways for some of the students to sit in their car outside the library so that they could have access to internet service for the purpose of their homework and some of these things. These are heart-wrenching stories at a time when we're talking about all of the other challenges of COVID, all of the other stresses that families are under. There really is no plausible reason why this wouldn't be a call to arms around cellular and broadband. We had an individual in one of our communities where the only provider in town was Verizon for cellular, and it turned out that the healthcare monitoring system that we were trying to work with this family on for somebody that really needed it was only worked on AT&T backbone. So it just, cellular and broadband are inextricably linked. We're going to see more and more demand for the wireless side because of the way people are dependent on their wireless devices. But with the advent of FirstNet and that federal award, that federal designation, that AT&T platform is going to help with emergency communications and provide some really robust detail about where a fireman may be in a building and those things. This is really no longer a conversation about something that decades ago people saw as a luxury. Cellular is a necessity. People may be resistant to the idea of calling it a utility, but it doesn't really matter what we call it. It's a necessary service that we need to figure out how to build out across rural New York and rural America.
Chairman, can you share with our listeners, you said two words there that are quite important. It's been sort of a slow rollout, at least in my opinion. FirstNet, can you share with our listeners what FirstNet is and why that's important and how that connects to rural cellular issues?
Certainly, Steve. We in government quite often are a reactionary group, and we react to the crisis, and we try to play catch-up in the way that we deal with technological needs. And one of the nation's great tragedies was certainly 9/11, and on that day that we found out just the weakness in our emergency communication systems in New York, between agencies, between states. And so the federal government treated that as a call to arms, that we really needed interoperable communication systems so that a responder that was dashing across the border from New Jersey to help with a response, or Pennsylvania, or as the tragedy grew and we started for the purposes of cleanup to see more people come into the area to really work shoulder to shoulder with New York in the recovery, we realized that our emergency communication systems were woefully inadequate. And that created a call to arms on a couple of levels. It certainly caused a huge response here in New York through what the State Office of Homeland Security is doing with putting out those interoperable communication dollars and really encouraging us or requiring us to build interoperable emergency communications networks so we can assure that one county can talk to another county, can talk to another county. At the federal level, they put out an RFP for a provider to try to create that same national platform. The awardee was to AT&T because AT&T already had a significant tower network that they were operating cellular on. So AT&T put in this proposal. They made a commitment to the federal government that they would develop their system in a more robust way than just a cellular network, adding functionality to make those first responders that are carrying those AT&T phones, give them primacy, to add towers. There are a whole bunch of commitments that I won't bore the listeners with, but AT&T is now the provider under that FirstNet service. New York State opted into that FirstNet. States had the ability to make that decision. We opted in with the other 50 states as part of opting in. AT&T, with that stroke of a pen, made a commitment to 100 new towers in New York. So that helped move the needle. We just need to work with AT&T and the other providers to keep continuing to move the needle. We need the ability end-to-end for our emergency communication system to work. We need that first user, the person that sadly has an automobile accident or sees an automobile accident, to be able to make that 911 call immediately, because minutes count. From there, the system has to work in terms of our ability to communicate with our first responders, have first responders communicate with each other, et cetera. Now FirstNet and AT&T are a part of that continuum of communication, the same as that first cell phone call is, or the same as our emergency communication systems are at the county, where we're allowing the ambulance to talk to the hospital or to call for backup or whatever they may need.
We're talking with William Farber, the chair of the Hamilton County, New York Board of Supervisors. Chairman Farber is in a position of leadership in his town, in his county, and in the state, serving on the governor's task force and multiple task forces and committees of the state. I should also note that Bill has been working very closely with Congressman Anthony Brindisi, who we just heard from, but he's also worked very closely with Congresswoman Elise Stefanik on this issue as well. Congresswoman Stefanik has joined together in this bipartisan effort to advocate on behalf of all of New Yorkers, really all Americans, living in rural portions of the state. Bill, we're grateful to have you on this conversation here today. I know you've been working hard on Cathead Mountain in New York State, a great local example of why rural cell service is needed. How does this issue fit into the advocacy at the federal level?
That's a really interesting question, Steve. I talked about the way, you know, our emergency response is really integrated, going from that first on-the-ground call from a cell phone, from somebody's landline in their home, saying, I need an ambulance, or I hear or see domestic violence going on in my neighbor's house, or whatever the emergency may be. They have an expectation that in the first instance their phone will work, whether it's a cell phone or a landline, and then they have the expectation that our emergency communication systems will work from there, that our emergency communications will function in a way that allows the right response to get to the right location as quickly as possible. That also contemplates the ability of an ambulance arriving at the scene to be able to call the hospital, to convey what's happening with the patient, to call for a higher level of life support. We may have an ambulance that responds to a scene that is what is referred to as basic life support, has an EMT on board. Maybe the particular call requires a paramedic. We have emergency communication systems that are unable to function at a level where that first responder, that ambulance person, that sheriff's deputy, that fire chief has the inability to call for additional resources, be it backup, be it higher level of support, be it more resources, the system starts to degenerate and break down. I had mentioned earlier Homeland Security and the work that we as county government leaders are doing in partnership with them to build an interoperable emergency communication system here in New York State so that all of our counties can talk to each other. So we have a great system here in New York State led by, in some counties, our sheriffs. In some counties, we have emergency managers. In some counties, we have separate folks that are dealing with the 911 systems or the emergency communication. But all of that is linked together by the State Office of Homeland Security and Mike Sprague in an effort to make sure that we can all talk to each other, that we all have a consistent system across the state, that we all have a reliable system with built-in redundancies. And redundancies are to make sure that microwave paths flow both ways, to make sure that to the degree that we can, all of our microwaves are backed up. Most are transitioning now to backing that up with fiber rather than the old copper. That's been a slow process because some of these tower locations are fairly remote. But as we learn day in and day out around the bandwidth issue in our homes, it has implications for the robustness of data that we can transmit over our emergency phones. We're now providing video back to our sheriff's office of what goes on in a call. We're all doing that. It creates a safer New York. That's what we aspire to end to end, whether it's that first cell call or it's that last call from the ambulance saying that they've stabilized the patient and they're en route to the hospital. We need a safer and better New York. We owe it to all our citizens. Certainly COVID has made health issues and emergency response and our ability to care for New York an issue of primary concern. Much the same as the federal government did around authorizing FirstNet, let's take the moment of COVID and demonstrate some leadership around recognize we do need better broadband in some corners. To your point, the governor's office did a great job building broadband, but we now see that the amount of bandwidth that's required today makes things like data caps really problematic. If you've got students in the home, if you're monitoring telehealth in the home, if you're trying to do business from the home, all of these things suddenly require greater bandwidth. The technology is evolving. We have a chance to evolve with it by working with the industry to figure out how do we build out 5G? Where's 5G appropriate? Where do we need small cell? Where do we need more macro sites? Where do we just need to upgrade the electronics on existing sites to make sure that we're getting the kind of bandwidth that our users demand?
I do think we're fortunate to have individuals such as yourself at the local level communicating with the state, with the governor's cellular coverage task force, and the great work that our governor is doing and this task force is doing to ensure that cell coverage is provided in areas across the state in underserved and unserved areas, and truly grateful for all the work that you have done, Bill, and that you continue to do, Bill. Let's talk a little bit about Congressman Anthony Brindisi. He's going to have a difficult task ahead of him and all the work that he's doing. Let's talk about Elise Stefanik, all the great work that she's doing, trying to help the rural areas of her district. What are your thoughts about what Congressman Brindisi discussed in Washington, D.C., and really your outlook on this? Are you optimistic that we could pull this issue through either in an infrastructure bill or part of a COVID economic stimulus package? What are your thoughts about what Congressman Brindisi said, Elise Stefanik, what she says to you and all her efforts, and your outlook on their work?
Sure. You know, you and I have worked together, Steve, a long time. Actually, when you talked about my state leadership, I thought you were going to talk about the committee that you let me chair. But the reality is, you know that by nature, I'm always naturally optimistic that we can get something done. It's the only way that I can stay passionate and stay driven. I refuse to see myself or my county as victims here and simply go negative and jump into the political rhetoric of everything that's wrong. And I think that NYSAC over time has done a very good job of that as well. I think it's why you've made a great partner on this issue, because I think this whole conversation and the conversation, when I say that, it's more than just the conversation that you and I and Congressman Brindisi have had. This is a conversation that has been an ongoing conversation with the state and the federal government and federal legislators and our senators and our congressional delegation now for months. And I continue to be encouraged by it for a bunch of reasons. This is, in a lot of ways, it's mom and apple pie. There's nobody saying that people shouldn't have a right to broadband. There's nobody out there making an argument that It would be a bad thing if somebody that runs off the road on Route 30 has access to cell service so that they can make a call. Nobody's going to argue about my kids being able to have access to distance learning. Nobody's going to argue about somebody's mom or grandmother having access to telehealth. The issue, as you know, in the country right now is where do the dollars to accomplish these things come from? But the optimism even on that front has to link back to the fact that universally everybody is talking about the need to move money out for stimulus. How do we invest to move this nation and this economy forward? How do we invest to move this state forward? And I think there's little doubt that when you look at the word invest in its purest terms, putting money into broadband and cellular is clearly an investment into our future. In a lot of ways, we tend to play catch-up around technology. We have a chance now to move quickly. Sometimes a crisis can be a terrible thing to waste, and we've had a crisis that has reminded us that we need to be better positioned if suddenly something happens that our kids can't be in school for a month. If suddenly something happens that we need to provide health care to patients that are going to be apprehensive about going to the hospital, or where hospitals may struggle with the capacity to see people in the emergency room, what preventative things can we do remotely if we have more robust broadband, if we have more robust cellular? So this COVID crisis has given me optimism that there's an opportunity here. It's going to bring a layer and level of focus on an issue that you and I have been working on and struggling to get on people's radar screens in a different way, because we have been passionate about talking about the 911 calls. We have been passionate about talking about the implications for economic issues and how this feeds tourism. But the reality is we were reminded over the last months of the implications this has for our frail, our elderly, and our youth. If the opportunity to serve them better isn't enough to motivate us to action, then I can't imagine what would be. And make no mistake, this is an investment that will induce economic vitality. You've got the work that goes into building infrastructure like you've got with any kind of infrastructure. And then with this infrastructure, it's like the roads and bridges of decades ago. It's what connects us together. It's what connects our economy. It's what connects our healthcare systems. It's what connects our education system. So, yeah, as tough as things are in the state and the nation right now, I'm optimistic that this is enough of a have-to-have item that we will figure it out. That's why you see bipartisan efforts, people working and not just talking the talk. They're walking the walk. They're reaching across the aisle. The offices are talking to each other, saying, how do we do this? How do we get this done? And a lot of that credit goes to folks like yourself and Ryan and people that have been aggressively reminding them and pushing them, because everybody, whether it's from the president right down through to the governor to House representatives to U.S. senators to our local state senators, we're dealing with the crisis of the moment. We're taking hundreds of phone calls a day from people that are in crisis. So it takes folks like NYSAC to keep reminding us, don't lose focus on these big picture things that we have to invest time in, that we have to get done. For me, I know I've got to deal with the phone calls for this COVID exposure or this business that may or may not be doing the right thing and those things. But I can't invest so much of my time putting out fires. It's a little bit like the dynamic of, geez, I didn't have time to stop and put gas in my car. We have to make time to do this. We have to find the resources to do this. We just have to get it done. It's not optional.
Well, Bill, I think you've summed it up very eloquently there, the importance of cellular coverage. It used to be a luxury. I am old enough to remember that. I had that bag phone, which some of our listeners may remember, in your car, which weighed about 25 pounds, and it came in a fake leather bag.
You're older than I am. Mine was only 10 pounds.
And a giant battery that had that function in your vehicle, but it's certainly come a long way and is certainly part of a way of life in modern society now, connecting us to public safety, connecting us to your neighbor, connecting us to your parents and your family and your brothers and sisters, and connecting us, importantly, to medicine and to what's known as telehealth and the ability to communicate and get care and when you need it in a rural, remote area. But it's going to be tough. Let's make no mistake about it. It's not going to be easy. There are 535 members of the Congress, 435 in the House, and 100 in the Senate. Bipartisan effort. I did want to give a shout-out to the Senate Democrat leader in the United States Senate, Charles E. Schumer, and the great work that he has contributed into this. I have met with him personally, with you, over the years. He remains committed to making this part of an infrastructure package. He's been a tireless advocate for this, a champion of it, and so too has Kirsten E. Gillibrand, the junior senator from the state of New York, also a very staunch advocate of trying to bring rural coverage in it. We talked about Elise Stefanik. We've talked about Anthony Brindisi, and other members of the New York congressional delegation have also been supportive of this. And I just want to close on this note here, that the President of the United States and in his administration, William Crozier in particular, the Office of Intergovernmental Relations, has been terrific to work on this. The President seemingly receptive to trying to address this issue as well. So it looks like, Bill, all the great work that you've done, that Anthony Brindisi has done, that Elise Stefanik has done, that the two United States senators from the state of New York are doing on an ongoing basis to keep attention focused on this issue, is going in the right direction. I hope that we can continue this momentum and get something accomplished here sooner rather than later. Last word to you, Bill. Anything else you want to share on this before we close?
Steve, a huge shout out. Huge shout out and a thank you to you and NYSAC. I mean, the reality is you've been on the forefront trying to align this. This is one of those instances, whether we're talking about Cathead or whether we're talking about broadband or whether we're talking about cellular, we have to get people to step over looking for their differences and look at the commonality. We have a broad cross-section of people that are screaming out, this is important, you need to get it done. This is the moment in time when we need to find a way to get these things done. It's not a time for posturing or rhetoric, or frankly, I would even implore people, the industry, advocates pro and con around 5G, et cetera. Let's come together and figure it out. Let's get it done for the sake of the country and the state.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Bill. I want to thank you for your efforts and all that you do for the Association of Counties, for the counties of the state, for the town in which you represent in Hamilton County, New York, and also give a shout-out to the industry as well to urge them.
Absolutely.
If they're listening to this, and we'll make sure that they get a copy of this podcast, but we really need their help. After all, they're providing a service to help people. We really need their help in the industry. We appreciate the demands that they're under, that they need to make a profit to provide a service. We want to work with them. We don't want to mandate anything. We want to work in partnership with them. I want to thank our governor and all of our New York congressional delegation. And thank you very, very much, Bill, and thank you to Anthony Brindisi as well, who joined us earlier on this podcast. And we're very appreciative of you taking, all of you taking the time to listen to this. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this NYSAC podcast. Keep tuning in to hear more insightful conversations on county government throughout New York State. And feel free to reach out to our staff if there is a topic you would like to hear us discuss on the podcast.